Matthew, first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, looking at verse number 6. Matthew 26, verse 6. Now, when Jesus was come in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much, given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. A memorial. Isn't that amazing? I realize sometimes we men get a lot of the recognition of things that we do. But here was a woman who boldly and bravely stepped forth in a household of disciples and family and friends and chose to do this one amazing sacrifice upon her Lord and her Savior. Several years back, it was also another group of women who decided that something needs to be done in honor of those of our family members, our sons, our brothers, our husbands, who died 600,000 strong, who died in the war, in the Civil War. We need to remember them somehow. We need to honor them somehow. It was women, not men, who took the action to do this, that their death should mean something. They should never, ever be forgotten. They should be remembered on both sides, north and south. It was originally intended to pay tribute to those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, who died in battle. But today, in cemeteries across America, it is given this honor to those who died in war as well as in peacetime. We remember them for their sacrifice. We value sacrifices. As we mentioned, we have people who guard the tomb of the unknown soldiers from World War I, World War II, Korea, and all those who are missing in action that can never, ever be found. We take the time. We take the effort. We take the sacrifice to honor them because we value so greatly everything that they have done. We honor them for their lives. We honor their families' lives and sacrifice for the future generation, for all of you who may never know what all of this is about. We want you to know. We want you to understand that freedom is not free. What we have today in America, someone died for, someone paid for. Someone gave up their life, their family's lives. They did not see daughter's graduation. They did not see their son's winning football touchdown. They did not see the band recitals. They did not be there for their own anniversary because they were on a foreign field somewhere with a rifle, with a computer, with an airplane, with a ship, with a tank. And they did this that we might have the life and freedom we have today. They went beyond themselves. As we said earlier, who's going to take their place? You know, it's amazing as we look at what this woman here in giving of her alabaster box, giving it for the Lord Jesus Christ. She was, as we know, a living memorial. A memorial. A living memorial. Which means that this is something that we need to be doing as well. We honor the living Jesus Christ in our hearts because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Therefore, our lives are to be called upon as a living memorial unto him. It is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You know the passage that we should be, and let me get it here before you. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We're called upon today to be living sacrifices, living memorials of what Jesus Christ did. How else will the lost world know? How else will they see? How else will they understand what Jesus did if they don't see it through us? The living sacrifice, the living sacrifice. Our lives are to be lived in such a way where that sacrifice is before each and every one. A living sacrifice. The story goes back years ago of an individual who chose to do that very thing for a friend of his. March 10th, 1966, Central Highlands, South Vietnam, the Asia Valley, a Green Beret camp that where 2,000 North Vietnamese were coming and attacking this camp. It was being protected by air power overhead. There was a flight ship of 8 aircraft, and they were assigned to guard this camp, keep the enemy at bay. The airplanes were slow, 375 miles per hour sky raiders. Propeller airplanes did well in the jungle. They could see. They were slow enough to look down in the jungle below. Jets were too fast. So here these sky raiders were assigned to protect the Special Forces camp. One of the individuals assigned was Major D.W. Myers. As he flew around low over the valley, knowing that he will probably get shot at, he was right. The valley down below had on the hilltops the enemy, knowing that we would support that camp, came shooting on both sides. Major Myers' aircraft was hit. It crash landed on the small run airstrip there at the Special Forces base. He got out and he was hiding. A Major Bernie Fisher saw this. He saw his fellow pilot get out, and he saw him and waved to him that he was okay. But he said, if I don't do something about it, my friend, Major Myers, is going to get caught. He'll be a POW, and who knows what else will happen to him. So he alone made the decision that he would fly around and land on that small 1.5-mile strip. It was pockmarked with artillery rounds and holes where it would, of course, blew a tire if he tried to land there, but he chose to do so anyway. He landed on that strip. Major Myers came out. Bernie Fisher grabbed him by the seat of his pants and jerked him into the cockpit, a one-man cockpit. Major Myers had to sit on the lap of Bernie Fisher while they tuned that plane around and flew it out of that airstrip. On the way out, 19 bullet holes were found in Bernie Fisher's aircraft. For his bravery in war, he received the Medal of Honor. You see, he was an example of a living sacrifice. He was an example of someone that He wasn't going to let anything bad happen. A sacrifice is only a sacrifice because of the focus that you have. Bertie Fisher had the focus on his friend. He wasn't going to let his friend die at the hands of the enemy. Jesus Christ made the sacrifice for us because his focus was on you and myself. He knew there was no other way for us to be saved, to go to heaven. No other way for our sins to be given. So he said here, I've got to focus. He was come down out of the clouds, much like Bernie Fisher, and coming down to enemy territory, like Bernie Fisher. And he lived among us for 33 and a half years. And there, knowing what you and I go through, knowing the hurt and the pain, the sadness and the sorrow that we go through, he willingly gave his life on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for you and for me. And today, on this Memorial Day weekend, not only do we honor those who have served our nation so well, but we honor our Savior, and we honor his sacrifice, and we honor what he did in the midst of human enemies that did not want him to come. Jesus Christ took our death, our hell, our pain, our grave, that we might have eternal life. A living sacrifice is someone who offers themselves in the place of someone else. A sacrifice is one who says, I'm willing to do it in place so that I might help others to live. Sadly, we've heard this last week of two teachers who offered their bodies as a living sacrifice. One, Ava Morales. She has taught for 17 years in the Uvalde School District. She was 44 years old. When the gunman came bursting in, she immediately thought of nothing else but surrounding her body and covering as many children as she could until she died. Another teacher, Irma Garcia, who had been teaching for 23 years in the Uvalde School District, age 48. In the other classroom, she did much the same thing. She had four children. She loved them all. But she had to think of the ones that were there in the gun sights of the enemy. And so she threw her body over her students. Her husband, as you probably know, in order to honor his wife, laid a wreath as a memorial. And then within hours, he died of a heart attack. When you think of sacrifices, you think of someone who does something in place of somebody else, knowing that nobody else could do it. You don't think, you just do. You don't think, you just react. You don't think, you just throw yourself in that place. We train Secret Service men to do the same thing. They throw their bodies in the midst between them and the gunman to protect the president of the United States. Jesus Christ took and threw his body in place of our sins and the sacrifice he made for us, knowing that we were not worthy. There was nothing good about us in any way, shape, form. There was nothing in which we had value of ourselves except his great love, his grace, his mercy, and his care. Jesus Christ died in our place. Sacrifice is that which we give. Sacrifice is that which we're told to be a living sacrifice. The focus of that sacrifice as a living memorial, as an individual who says, you know what, I want people to know about my Jesus. I want people to know the sacrifice he made for me. The lost world has no concept. They have no idea. Sometimes they think what soldiers do is a waste. Why would they be willing to go hundreds and thousands of miles away and give their life for their nation, for the country? And you would kind of begin to wonder, is our nation and country worth it? They think so. They value America with all its flaws, with all of its issues, they value America and they're willingly able to serve, that we might not be in harm's way. A nation should be grateful, should be thankful for those who have served, whose graves dot the landscape. You need to go, if you've never been, to the National Cemetery here in the Dallas area. And as you look on the hills, you'll see the crosses. You'll see the tombstones lying there. It's a place where you don't talk loudly. It's a place where you don't yell and scream and holler. It's a place that you're quiet in honor of those who've given their lives for us here in America. It's a place, as Abraham Lincoln said in a Gettysburg Address, hallowed ground, sacred ground. Indeed, we owe a great deal to those who've served in our nation. We owe a great deal to our Savior who died in our place. Jesus Christ is the supreme when it comes to living sacrifice. Today, he's alive from the dead. Today, he lives. He's at the right hand of God the Father. He's sitting at the right hand throne of position of power. And whenever you need anything, he's in that position of power. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You can call upon him for anything. You can call upon him to do whatever your needs are. He will supply those needs for you. Today, our Savior is a living Savior. He's not buried in some grave. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. He's at the right hand of God the Father. And he ever lives to make intercession for us because he loves us. No one will ever love you as much as Jesus Christ. I am sure these that we've honored today in military uniform, they love America. And they love their wife, they love their family, they love their nation. Sometimes in the heat of battle, when the bullets are flying around, they do so to protect their buddies. Get down, get down, get down. And they love their buddies. They're not thinking of anything else, perhaps of survival. But Jesus Christ willingly gave his life on the cross of Calvary for us because his focus was only on us. On us. Nobody else is going to do it. Nobody else is going to step up to the plate. Nobody else is going to volunteer. Nobody else in heaven had the right, had the power, had the authority to do what Jesus Christ did. But he did it because he loves us deeply. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're here today and you've had doubts and fears, not knowing what is this all about, please, we urge you, we beg with you, we plead with you, come to Christ, be saved, get born again. Know for sure that should a gunman ever come into where your business is and you die, you know for sure that you're going to heaven. It's been said, we really don't know how to live until we're prepared to die. If you're not prepared to die and go to heaven, you really don't know how to live. You really don't know what life is all about. Life is about Jesus. He's the single reason why we're here. He's the only reason why we can identify with these men and women and their life and their sacrifice. We know what sacrifice is. We've seen it displayed on the cross. An old, blood-stained, rugged cross where he died in our place. Humanly, Bernie Fisher did this for his pilot friend, Major Myers. He did so because he did not want him to fall into the hands of the enemy. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary because he, Jesus, does not want us to fall into the hands of our enemy, the devil. He cares deeply about us. And the only way he could show it, and the only way he could display it, and the only possible way to make an impact in our life is by dying on the cross in our place. No politician is going to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. But Jesus alone volunteered. It was such an awesome, magnificent thing to take our sins on him that God the Father could not stand to look at him. He could not stand to see the sins of us on his son on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus, with the only breath he had, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that moment in time, he and the Father were separated briefly because of your sins and mine. He willingly sacrificed his life that we might have eternal life. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ, we urge you to come. If you're here today, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, we urge you to come. If you're here today and you don't know what this thing is about being saved, about being born again, but it piques your interest, we invite you to come that you might know the one who loved you so much. He willingly swooped in out of the clouds, came to heaven in the midst of enemy fire, and gave up his life for yours. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In just a moment, we're going to sing a verse of invitation. Hopefully, it's more than one verse. Hopefully, there will be several that will come and receive Christ into their life. Or come and pray and realize I've not been the living memorial I should be. I've not been the living sacrifice for Jesus that I should be. We hope you extend that invitation. It's only dependent upon you when you come. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll bless now. Speak to our hearts as we understand the reality of the living memorial, a living sacrifice, what it means that your son died on Calvary in our behalf. If there are those here today that need to receive your son, help them to come now. Help them to realize that nobody else died for me. Nobody else cares for me in this uncaring, unloving world. Only Jesus Christ does. Help, we pray, for their salvation. Help, we pray, for them to come and receive your son into their life. And for the Christians, well, we need work. We need to work on being a living sacrifice. We get too comfortable in this world, and we're willing to hang on to things. But sometimes we need to give them up and willingly to be that living sacrifice for our Lord and our Savior. Speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.